Ante Up is your poker magazine dedicated to the everyday player and their poker rooms. Pick up a free copy at your favorite poker room nationwide each month. But Ante Up is much more than a magazine. Visit anteupmagazine.com daily for breaking news and each week download our award-winning poker cast. Join us on our action-packed poker cruises to exotic destinations and find special deals on Ante Up gear and great poker products at anteupstore.com. Ante Up. It's your poker magazine.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Ante Up PokerCast. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's April 11th, 2014. You're listening to the best PokerCast on the interwebs. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Yeah, long time no talk.
And it's only going to get worse. You're ready to go away again on me for another 3 months.
Yeah, I tell you, it's funny. I was on the Ante Up cruise last week. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But normally when I'm on the cruise, I have my laptop and, I always check in with the outside world on the internet. And this time, thanks to the good folks at T-Mobile, not an Ante Up sponsor, I have unlimited international data now. So, and we had 3 port stops, so I just turned my phone on in Mexico those 3 times and just responded to emails off the phone. So I never even turned my laptop on.
Wow.
The entire cruise, and it was just so weird. That's about as close to off the grid as I can get, I think. So our only conversations really were text and emails for a while. And
then, yeah. Yep.
And now I'm up here in beautiful Petaluma, California for the Ante Up Tour event. So everything's going well up here. We're at the 101 Casino for the North Bay Poker Open. Folks are listening to the show. You still have time to come out and play this weekend. There'll be 3 day ones for the main event, which is a $400 buy-in. Winner will get his or her photo on the cover of the May issue. And you can go to anteupmagazine.com/101casino for all the details. It's pretty cool. We already had one listener that showed up. He was at the Cordova event, and he's real excited to be following the tour now. He came out and saw me the first night and shared a drink with my wife and I. And I know he's come. He already prepaid for the main event. He wanted to be sure he could come on to get that.
Smart.
And then our great Northern California ambassador, Garrett Roth, was up here last night. So I saw him for a little bit. And I mean a little bit because I fired 2 bullets in the tournament and was gone before the first reentry period was over.
Oh, no.
But he's going to come back up tonight. We'll see him again. And I know a couple other folks have checked in with me and they know us and are going to swing by. So hopefully anybody up here in the Bay Area, Northern California, even Reno, come on over this weekend and see us. We're having a great event.
That's just always so nice about having the show and the magazine and, you know, all the things that we do. A lot of times when we do Ante Up things, they're also additional Ante Up things. You know, it's not just a tournament, but now it's like an Ante Up meetup too, the poker cast and everything else. So it's such a huge community. It's so great when they show up.
Oh, absolutely. It's a lot of fun and just meet new people too. I mean, I was seated at the table last night with a gentleman that won event one. And so we struck up a conversation and he was asking me more about the tour and where all it's going. And he got kind of excited about that. So old friends, new friends. It's always a great thing, definitely on the cruise, but certainly at the tour.
Right.
And the 101 Casino, I can't say enough about it. It's another client called me up this week and asked me about it. And I'm like, it's really nice. It's, you know, because we've been to a lot of these California card clubs that just haven't been maintained well. And just like a sister property to Cordova, where we had our first Ante Up tour event, really well done. Great, great restaurant and bar area. Spent a lot of time in the bar area already. but they do that well. The tables and chairs, very comfortable chairs, lots of TVs around, and real friendly staff. And just having a good time. Real good, friendly players up here as well, too. So certainly encourage people, if you can't make it up now here in San Francisco, just north of San Francisco, anytime you're out in this area, swing by the 101 Casino and play there. They got a good 4-8 with 6-12 kill hold'em game going. Most nights I haven't had a chance to play it yet.
Oh.
And in their VIP room, they have a really big PLO game going as well, too. So little stuff that's different up here that you don't find everywhere anymore. But the event's been good. The first two events crushed the guarantee. Last night's beat it as well, too. And so we're filling the place up. Definitely look forward to tonight's event, which is a deep stack. And then the main event starts on Friday. They're going to add a couple extra tables to the room for that and, take out some pie gal tables is what I understand. So have plenty of capacity for everyone and plenty of time to get in. Satellites start today as well, too. So, a great way to get into get on the cover of the magazine for just $100, or 125, I think the satellite is. So right. Swing by and see that, but, having a good time. And, I gotta tell you this Petaluma, I've never been to all those times I've been in Northern California. I've never been up to Petaluma before. And, for folks that have not heard of Petaluma, if you've seen American Graffiti, this is where it was filmed. Lots of other movies too. Basic Instinct had some scenes here, not the famous one, of course, but a couple other movies I haven't seen, like Inventing the Abbots and things like that. But it was kind of cool. I was going through all the movie scenes and just because I've spent so much time in the city already and walking, it's a real cool. The downtown is on the National Record of Historic Places or whatever it's called. And it's really, really cool. Lots of cool bars and restaurants and activities. And tomorrow I think I'm going to drive out to the coast and watch whales. Yeah. I've actually seen whales before.
Yeah, that's awesome. Because I've actually had a chance to do that years and years ago. Jeannie, she was a membership director for a country club, and she had qualified for a free trip to Hawaii through the company with her spouse. And we went out, and we saw the whales. And we saw the whales that were going from Hawaii to Alaska up the coast of California. So you're probably going to see the same ones. And it's phenomenal, man. If they're plentiful or if you see them close up, it's like something you'll never forget the rest of your life. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and what's really funny about that, too, is we were on the cruise last week, and we are getting to that, I promise. at all the port stops, they do whale-watching boats, and I'm like, oh, that's totally me. But they stop on March 30th, and we are in port April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So I was telling my wife, I'm like, you know, you think the whales get a memo? And the boat captain's like, hey, shoot, get out. I'm like, I gotta think they're still around somewhere, but we actually rented a boat there and saw sea lions and stuff, no whales. But since I didn't get up here and I'm looking through the things to do, and obviously we did wine tasting. This is right in the heart of wine country, so had all that kind of stuff. You big wine fans, it's a great place to come. And then I'm like, hey, whale watching. I'm like, yes, I'm still gonna see the whales. So I'm sure I'll drive all the way out there Friday, and the whales will be laughing at me. But I'm hoping not. But
well, it's pretty wild, man. I mean, it is really remarkable, especially if you're in the water and they're coming around the boat or something. It's just it's unforgettable.
So yeah, folks, come up here and have a good time. It's a great, great, great little area, great card room, and real close to San Francisco. I did Alcatraz again, which is fun, and all kinds of stuff like that. So this is a great place to vacation. And remember, just go to antiupmagazine.com/101casino for more details on this event, or antiuppokertour.com for our upcoming events. And, of course, as I mentioned, I just got off the cruise, and I know we usually dedicate an entire show to the cruise, so we'll pause for applause from everyone, and actually you're going to have a real show today and not one of our half-hour cruise shows. I did want to update. We had some good stuff on the cruise. This is our first one out of L.A., first time on NCL, and I think almost all of our passengers except for our staff were new this time, so definitely a different experience for us, you know, because usually when we get on the cruise, we have so many repeat customers, and then we meet new ones, of course, too. But it's almost like a reunion of sorts. And this was like all brand new passengers. And just like the ones out of Florida or everywhere else we've sailed, we made quick friends with many of them. And lots of them are looking forward to coming on future ones. So, you know, it doesn't change that you're on the West Coast versus the East Coast. You know, everybody comes on a cruise and has a really good time.
That's cool.
So I got to spare you the first day jitters. I know we've talked about this on the show before, too, but certainly if you're related to me, you know just how painful the first day of the cruise always is when we're trying to get our equipment on the ship and get on and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
So this time I thought we made it as easy as we possibly could. We shipped our chips ahead of time. They were going to load them right on the ship. We didn't have to touch them. Made a great deal with Brian up at Off Tilt Custom Poker Tables to make brand new tables for us and send them to us. And he shipped them straight to the ship too, and they turned out to be great tables. So certainly definitely encourage folks, if they're looking for a table for your home game, to go to Off-Tilt, PokerTables.com and give Brian some business. He'll take good care of you. So it was going to be, you would think, the easiest embarkation or disembarkation, whatever it is. One of those embarkations.
Let's just say the easiest time getting on the ship.
Exactly, right. Yeah, so we flew in the night before. Our flight was delayed. We ended up on the same plane for 9 hours. Didn't get to the hotel until 1 a.m., but got up, got on the ship. It had an hour and a half delay from customs before they let us on the ship. So we're already behind the ball a little bit, right? Get on there, go up to the conference center. No equipment. So I found a group coordinator, and about an hour later, they realized the ships are in the closet there. They were already on the ship from the last sailing. So we had the ships. We're like, all right. And then, but they couldn't find the tables anywhere. I'm like, oh, no, this is not good. So then eventually, like a half an hour later, and during this all, you know, I just bragged about how great T-Mobile is. I have international coverage all over the world, right?
Yeah, yeah.
No cell phone service on the ship. I couldn't call you. I couldn't call our travel agent. I couldn't call Brian. So it was a little bit of a panic. And then eventually she came up. She's like, hey, we found the table. So I'm like, yes, the cruise will continue. And one of the guys brings up, and Chris, I haven't told you this yet, so this is kind of funny. They bring up this table, and it's like this folding green thing that you play, I don't know, backgammon on.
Oh,
or,
no.
And she's like, hey, your tables. And I'm like, those are my tables. And the guy bringing them up, he's like, what? Well, these aren't your tables. I don't know what your tables are. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, so then I'm like, well, don't take it away. We might need that. So they eventually found the tables, and then they couldn't find the box with the dealer racks in them. And that was the last stress. And right after the lifeboat drill, they found those. And so tragedy was averted, and we had great crews with it. But it's just impossible, I think, for us to have a first day that does not have an amazing stress level, is it?
Man, I'm stressing out now, and it's all over. It's all over, and I'm freaking out over here.
Well, it's not over yet. I don't know if our equipment got shipped back yet. So.
Oh, no, that's true.
But that's a different kind of story.
Yeah, I don't even want to know. Just make sure it happens. I don't want to hear about it. I'll have a heart attack.
Like I mentioned, we met some brand-new passengers, a great time. We had dinner with a bunch of them, explored the port excursions with a couple of them. In Mazatlan, we rented a boat, and the staff and I went and just kind of tooled around. They took us around, saw some sea lions, and let us snorkel off a beach. And that's kind of cool. It's something we haven't done before, get everybody together in port. And the other two port stops, we just kind of roamed around with some of our passengers and saw the sights. And the first one, our first port stop, was Cabo St. Lucas. And we had a podcast listener, Trevor, all the way from Saskatchewan. So, you know, I got to do my Saskatchewan Scott nickname a little bit. He wasn't impressed, I don't think. But absolutely great guy. He had a lot of good time. I think he works 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, he said. So the cruise just worked right well into his 2 weeks off. And
cool.
He played every night. It was great having him in the game. He came to dinner with us a lot. But in Cabo, we were sitting there at one of these, and I know you and Jeannie don't go to the Senior Frogs or Carlos and Charlie's ever when we get off in port, but I'm sure you've probably seen one, right, where it's a bunch of drunk girls taking these $5 watered-down shots and doing stupid games and stuff like that, right?
Right.
Oh, we didn't go that. We went to a place called the Mango Deck, and which is almost the same thing, but with much better food. Really, really good food, to be honest.
Cool.
But they had they were trying to get women to line up for the Shake Your Booty contest. And I didn't realize this until I got on the cruise ship, but it's obviously spring break. That's how warped I am, because I don't have kids. I don't realize this stuff. But so it's spring break, so there's all kinds of people there, plus the cruise passengers down there, right? So they're having the Shake Your Booty contest, and then they wanted a judge for the Shake Your Booty contest, and the deciding factor on who got the judge was who brought the biggest bill up to the host.
The biggest, like, dollar bill?
Biggest
bill, like how
the
much they paid.
Bill.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, you know, you got no chance of doing this when you're in port with a poker group. So Trevor got the judge the Shake Your Booty contest, which was a lot of fun to watch. And you know, I just want to remind folks that, you know, if you don't book an Antioch Poker Cruise, you don't get chosen to judge the Shake Your Booty contest. So don't get not chosen to judge the Shaky Booty Contest. Book your Andy Up Poker Cruise at andyupcruises.com. this just blew me away on the, I think it was the second day. We were up in the one of the hot tubs when the room was closed, getting ready before we left port, I think. And a couple of our passengers were up there hanging out with us as well, too. We started talking to them. And real quickly, he's like, you know, hey, I've got a terminal illness. I don't know how much time I have left. And I won this cruise. And it's my wife's busy time at work. And they really don't let anybody off in the entire company. And it's a huge company. But she went to him and said, hey, my husband won this, and her boss let her off, and we're just having the time of our life, Scott. And like, wow, a ton of bricks just like that, right?
Wow.
And so we spent the entire rest of the cruise. I mean, they were up in the hot tub every night and playing, and just a fantastic attitude. I mean, I can't even imagine how I would react to knowing my time was limited. And they just really made the most of it, and he just had such a great attitude about it, too. He's like, you know, Scott, I could sit here and wallow in misery, but I'm just going to enjoy the time I have left. And really, really put a lot into perspective. You know, we do these cruises for fun. We obviously do them for money. But I tell you, I'm living a little harder and faster now after meeting this gentleman. And, you know, the last thing they said before they left is, you know, we're hoping to make it on another one. We're hoping. And really do hope to see him. But what a fantastic story.
Yeah. Jeez, that's great. Sorry that he's going through that, but I'm glad that we've provided something that helps him enjoy the time he has. So that's really puts it in perspective.
Yeah, he got right back to us when we sent our post cruise feedback, just reminding us how much time he had, how much fun he had, and really great. So hope to see him again, and hope to see all you guys again. Remember, go to andyupcruises.com. We have four more this year. We're coming up really close on the transatlantic. That's coming up in about 3 weeks or so. So call us soon on that one. And then obviously July 28th out of Orlando. That's our summer cruise. Bring the kids down to see the rat and come on a cruise, relax. And then Galveston is selling very well for October 19th out of Texas. Join us on that one. Of course, Tampa in December. It's always our biggest cruise of the year. So lots of fun to come. So if you want to be talked about on a future podcast, come on a cruise.
All right, our listener spotlight. Each week we spotlight someone who calls our hotline at 206-338-6344 or emails us at podcast@anyupmagazine.com. And if they haven't won something from us in the past year, just like we do with Call the Floor and Hand of the Week, we'll send them something fantastic. This week's sponsor, TournamentButton.com, which offers a variety of home dealer buttons with timers built right into them. You can even customize them with your own photo or logo and ask about the AnteUp logo version. Use code ANTEUP for free shipping. This comes from Kirby Steining. He says, I'd be interested in knowing how your readers / listeners are dealing with the technical issues in playing online poker in Nevada, Delaware, and or New Jersey. I live in Virginia, which is unlikely to have any new gambling in my lifetime. That means it's a 4-hour drive to the nearest casino poker table. I've traveled to Nevada and Delaware since they went online, but I've had very limited success actually playing online. Setting up a cash account is the easy part. Playing is frustrating. I stayed at a non-strip casino in Las Vegas, and it was a national hotel chain. I could not log in because the software thought I was not in Nevada, apparently due to the chain's use of a satellite-based internet service, not physically in Nevada. The only place I could actually play was at McCarran Airport, which made my wait for departure a lot more pleasant. In Delaware, I got a text message that said it thought I was not in Delaware, so I was unable to complete the login. I have not yet tried New Jersey, but based on my experiences so far, I am not very hopeful of success there either. So, with all these hurdles, does online poker really have a future?
Well, we've got a lot of emails similar. There's no one that's gone to the extent that Kirby has to try to play. I think what I remind everyone is that the online poker that we have now, the regulated in these three states and whatever states are soon to follow, it is going to be very different than the unregulated market. And part of it is because of how the regulations work. They have to be sure you're within the state. age verification, all that kind of stuff. And it's going to lead to these issues that, that Kirby's mentioned. He's certainly not the first one to let us know this. Everybody's kind of stressing, about, hey, I'm sitting here. No, I'm in Nevada. Why is it telling me I'm not in Nevada?
Right.
So it is a huge hurdle. And I know that the online poker sites are actually trying what they can to rectify it, but obviously some of it's just technology-based and regulatory-based. It's never going to get past it. So hopefully players are patient and just understand that they're going to have clear some hurdles now to be able to play. It's just not going to be the way it used to be. That being said, there are going to be lots of players that say, you know what, I don't want to be patient. This is not something that I want to do. It's not worth my time and effort, and they're not going to play. And that's really going to be the rub, I think, going forward is what can online sites and regulatory agencies do to make it easier for people to get on site on the game legitimately. If they can't, what are they going to do to make it more playable for those that do get on? Because at the end of the day, you need to have people on the site to play. If you don't have enough people on the site to play, then it's just not going to be very exciting. So I guess the final answer to this question is, yes, online poker does have a future. It's just not going to look like it used to.
You know, and the other thing, too, is he had trouble because he was traveling and showing up from as an out-of-state person, logging in, creating an account there, and then doing it from a hotel and that kind of thing. But I think when they set up these online sites and when they created this online community, I'm sure they were thinking about people sitting at home doing it on land-based, you know, homes or, you know, and their own Wi-Fi and their own. So I don't know how many people have complained about not being able to play who actually live there, who actually are hooking up to their own internet at their own house or whatever. I mean, I understand that, yes, you can go to the World Series this year and while you're there, staying in your hotel, play online to try to win your seat, that kind of thing, and you might run into problems. But generally, aren't they really – they started these companies because of the people that live in their state and not necessarily people hoping for people to travel there to play online, right?
Well, I think they wanted both. Obviously, you want as much player liquidity as you can get. But yeah, I mean, obviously the technology doesn't exist to really completely verify where you are now. And there's a lot of people that can trick it. So I'm sure there are some people that probably in their own house are having the same trouble just based on, you know, what kind of their internet provider and kind of stuff like that too. But yeah, certainly it's more prevalent, I think, for tourists
and hotel chains and things like that.
Particularly for Nevada, I think they definitely are going to. I mean, that's a market that definitely wants the tourist business. You know, so many people come to the state every year to play as it is. So I think that's the market of the three that I think really wants to find a way to cater to tourists. And like I said, it could be frustrating until they work out the bugs.
Exactly. All right. Well, call the floor. Find yourself in a situation at your favorite poker room or home game and not sure what the proper ruling should have been, email us at podcast@annieupmagazine.com and we'll have Annie Up Poker Tour Tournament Director Sam Minatello tell you how he would have ruled. This comes from our good friend and longtime listener, David Bloomberg. Says, we were in a 1-2 no-limit hold'em game. Two players were in the hand and the turn was put on the board. Player A accidentally checked the turn by making a checking motion, intentional or not, and the action was stated out loud by the dealer. The other player checked, and player A tried to bet 17. He was told he couldn't. On the river, player B checks, and player A says $10 more, then threw out $27. Player B heard the $10 part and called before seeing the $27. Player A was meaning $10 more than the previous bet he tried to make, but that certainly wasn't clear. The floor was called, but before he could rule, player B agreed to put in the other 17 and won the hand. That left unanswered what the bet should have been. What would have been the correct ruling?
All right. Sam says, the action in his hand definitely got out of control. Verbal action always takes precedence. Player A stated $10 more, which obligates him to a bet of only $10. It's not the $10 bet on top of the $17 that he previously intended betting on a turn. I would have ruled that player B was only obligated to call the $10, not the $27 that he did call. My feeling is the floor should have been called when player A was disputing his checking action.
Hmm. That's so weird that that guy would think just by saying $10 more, everyone would understand that it meant 27. And
well, yeah, it is. And I think probably just my vast experience at the poker tables, this is probably a guy that's just upset that he couldn't bet on the last street.
Right.
And it was just, this is his way to screw in it a little bit more. Hey, $10 more than what I wanted to bet, which doesn't make it right at all. But I'm, that's exactly, I'm sure, what he was thinking in his head. And Sam's right. I mean, the Sands could have gotten under control well before that. But obviously, the player agreed to put the $17 in. So, you know, no harm, no foul on that particular hand. But going forward, obviously, I think the less it is to clearly state your bet,
yeah,
the proper bet.
Yeah, and whatever you say is what's binding, not what you do. So, hey, after a week off, O'Malley's Move is back. Here we go with a fresh episode.
Hello, and welcome to another O'Malley's Move. I'm Malcolm O'Malley. After losing over half of our bankroll in that game we weren't comfortable with, we're back in our original 1-2 cash game, and we've bought in for 200. Thankfully, we're up a buy-in and a half and currently sit with 500. We're at a full 9-handed table that is pretty timid, a lot of limpers pre-flop, and a lot of opportunities to push people off hands and steal the blinds. In this hand, everyone folds to the hijack who limps, and we look down at the ace of spades, queen of clubs. With a big stack, a tight, aggressive image, and the mantra of table captain, we're going to make a raise here. The table standard is 4x, but we account for the limper and make a $10 bet. Everyone else folds back around to the hijack, who calls. She is an extremely timid player. We've seen her limp with big pairs, and she's a calling station, who will pay off bets with anything decent. She flopped the nut flush and called a player down all the way before raising him out on the river. She's doubled her original buy-in and sits with around 200. There's about $20 in the pot, and the flop comes down the ace of diamonds, 10 of diamonds, 10 of clubs. This is a pretty good hand, and really knowing her range, the only hand she might possibly have that could beat us is ace-king. There aren't many 10s I could see her holding here. We put in a bet of $12 after she checks. She does some thinking and then calls. The turn is the 3 of diamonds. The hijack checks almost immediately, and once again, we put in another bet. With roughly $40 in there, we make it $25 to go. Once again, our opponent thinks for a while and calls. Interesting. With about $90 in the pot, the river is the 9 of spades. And once again, our opponent checks. So, are we checking behind? Or is this a value betting situation? What's the move?
It's time for Hand of the Week. Send your hands or situations to podcast at antiupmagazine.com. This week's sponsor is Smapsoft, creator of the Chinese 13-card poker app for Apple products. Download the app today by visiting the iTunes store. And this comes from our friend in Iceland, which I will briefly be visiting in a month, briefly by 2 hours on a layover. And I'm really bummed about it, too. Iceland's on my bucket list, but I don't think I can really count it if I'm just in the airport.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because I'm landing in Lisbon on one of my flights this summer, and I'm like, hey, I went to Portugal. Not really.
All right, comes from Sammy. I believe that's how we pronounced it last time. If not, he knows that we can't pronounce it correctly.
Anyway. That's right.
All right, so and he's one of these people that's listened to every single episode. So
whoa.
He's a 497th-er or something. Well, actually, not that far yet.
Not that far, but close.
427th. all right, anyhow, he said he was playing in an interesting 1-2 no-limit hold'em cash game in an underground casino because gambling is illegal at Bushwood and in Iceland. So he's got a situation for us here, too. So he says a few players have left the table, and they're playing five-handed. I sit with $180 in the big blind. Under the gun had just lost most of his stack, getting it in bad in the previous hand. He pushes all in for $24. This guy's very loose and more of a gambler than a poker player. He may even have gone all in blind, which I've seen him do before. Undergun plus one folds, the button calls, and that guy is a loose aggressive player who often plays recklessly and makes bad decisions, and also has us covered for this hand. Small blind folds, and I'm in the big blind and have ace king off suit. We'll go ahead and treat it like a hand that we give as a situation.
Oh, okay. Well, I'd like to get isolated with that dead money, to be honest with you. You know, I mean, the guy obviously, from what we've been told and how he described him, was a loose gambler, and that's not a lot of money. But you got $24 dead money in there if you squeeze him out. You know, the button could be calling thinking that the blinds aren't going to have a hand, and he's going to be isolated, so he might not even have a hand anyway. So, yeah. I don't know how much we have in our stack, but, oh, was it 180 you said?
Yes, I'm sorry, 180.
Yeah, you said, I think you said it, I just couldn't remember. Okay, so I'm thinking, maybe 3-bet this guy, you know, like, plus there's dead money in there. So I'd put 100 out there probably and just isolate him. Because if you're going to raise a regular $24 bet, you'd make it 75. But now you got dead money in there of 25 or so, 24. So that's I'd probably make it 100 here and really make that guy, that button, pay to try to race me for this other guy's money.
Okay. Our hero says, I'm clearly not afraid of under the gun. The button could have a small pair of weak ace, weak king, or suited connector. If he had a pair higher than 8-8, ace-jack, ace-queen, or ace-king, I think he would 3-bet. Pot is $51, so I decided to 3-bet to $80 to hopefully force the button out and isolate the under the gun tilt guy.
Okay.
Same idea, just a little bit less.
Yeah, a little bit less, but pretty much what we were thinking.
All right, says, now for the interesting part. Decision time number one. Under the gun knows that I'm a tight, aggressive, and solid winning player. He has often commented on my play, for example, saying that he folds my bet on the river, but he would have called many other players. The guy flips over the ace of spades and starts talking. Remarks that he's afraid I have a stronger hand, asks me if I'm strong. Laughs. He now flips the card back over and then decides to flip the other card over, which is the jack of clubs.
Okay, so this isn't the under the gun guy. This is the button now?
He said it's the under the gun, but I think it's the button guy.
Okay, all right.
All right, so the guy's just exposed his hand, ace of spades, jack of clubs, and he says, my analysis preflop was clearly flawed, and I suspected that he would 3-bet with ace-jack, which he obviously didn't. I now know that I have him crushed with a 3-outer, so what is my play to maximize my value?
So he's hoping – so this guy hasn't called yet is what you're saying.
Right. Well, right. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Because how otherwise, what's to maximize your heads up with the other guy if he folded? So he's wondering if we should do... I say we don't do anything. Don't do anything. Why would you show him anything? If you show him the king, then he knows his jack is beat if you have ace-king. If you have kings, he knows he has a 3-outer. If you have king-queen, he's at best, what, 60-40. So why show him anything? I would just sit there and maybe even pretend to be scared, or not pretend, but just... No, keeping your mouth shut, I think, is the best thing here. I wouldn't show him anything. I would just hope he calls.
Exactly. Let me go through his thought process, and then I'll follow up with my own. But I'm clearly on Team Cosenza here, I think. He says, if I show him my ace, he will fold it, as he is good enough to know that I wouldn't 3-bet with worse than ace-jack. What if I show him my king? I wonder if that would be the right play to induce him to call. I go through what I imagine his thought process could be like, which might be puts me on king-king, calls and hopes to hit an ace. He is this loose. Puts me on ace, king, and folds. Puts me on king, queen, king, jack, and calls. I actually end up not showing him either of my cards, but started chatting up his antics by complimenting him on how crazy he is, laughing and encouraging his gambling thoughts.
Yeah.
He ends up calling, and the flop is 10-7-5 rainbow. Pot's 185 now, and I have 100 remaining. What do I do now?
Let's see. So there's 185 in the pot. We know we're winning. We know where you can only lose to a 3-outer, unless it somehow goes 9-9-8 or something. But I don't know. I'd bet 50. You know, just something that's like, because if you shove, I mean, I guess you could be giving off the impression that, you know, you're trying to steal it, and that you're giving the impression that only person beating me would shove, and when that's really not the case, you're doing the opposite of what they think you want to do. And
right,
but this guy's already loose and crazy and already made a call with ace jack, you know, and he's gonna think, well, you know I didn't hit my hand, but so that's why you feel like you can bet, because you're giving off the impression that you did hit the hand, And so it's kind of a mind game, but I feel like betting something in the middle might kind of freak this guy out, and he might call it. Shoving is kind of weird, too. I guess no matter what you do, you can actually get this guy's money. Because if you check, he could bet thinking that you missed it, too, and you're behind, and you don't want to lose any more money. If you bet, he can make it think, like I said, that you know that he missed, so it doesn't matter what you have, but he might think, hey, the same thing, and then he might call. So I think no matter what you do, you might get this guy's money. So why not bet like $50?
Yeah, I think this comes down. This is really one of those situations where you just have to know the player and what he's going to do. Because you're right. I mean, any one of these three scenarios could result in getting his money. Any one of these three results could end up in him folding.
Yeah,
and it just depends on who he is. I mean, I think I know what I would do against the people in each of the people in our home game, just because we played with them enough. Although this scenario would never come up in our home game because no one's going to be stupid enough to ever show us one card, let alone two. But I think that my answer would be different if I'm playing you or Faso or Frank or Andrew or any of the other players, just depending on who it is. And because really what's going to happen is then he's going to – you've already put him into a second level thinking now. So now he's got to think the same thing. Oh, well, why did he shove? Did he shove because he's trying to scare me, or did he shove because he knows that I know what he has and he can beat him? He's trying to get me to call. So it's all going to be mental acrobats on everybody's point of mind. So at that point, I think I just got to figure out what I think this particular player would most likely fall for.
Yeah. It's so bizarre that he showed both cards. I mean, it's so bizarre. And I guess if you check, he might be happy to check behind, but why would he have called with ace-jack to only check now? You know, I mean, why would you call with ace-jack?
Well, here's the thing. Checking behind, I mean, it seems to be the best move for me, I think, because we, you know, obviously we have him crushed right now. We want to keep him in and maybe show him a faint weakness here, right? But the problem if you check behind is you are giving him an opportunity to hit that jack, right?
No, well, we're first to act. I'm talking about him checking behind. I'm saying we're
big blind, so we got the first act.
Right, but you can't check behind. You're checking first.
As we check here and let him check behind.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so I mean, let him check behind, then you're giving that free card to hit, which you don't want to do. But at the same time, yeah, you're right. I it's why I want to bet. I can't check here. I mean, I think that you could check if you think this guy's going to bet, because he's going to believe that, you know, he had you beat, which is why he called in the first place. There's some serious mental gymnastics going on here.
Absolutely.
But I think that since we know we're ahead, you really can't. The only way you can make a mistake is if you don't bet, he doesn't bet, and he hits. So I think that the odds of you checking and him betting are much more rare than you betting 50 and him maybe calling because he's just not believing you. I'd rather put that on him than giving him a free shot at being rewarded for being an idiot. So I'm definitely going to bet something that looks of value. Now we only have about...
Well, we only have 100 remaining.
100 left. So if we bet 50, it's like half our stack. So I guess we just shove it. I don't know. Maybe the shove is counterintuitive though, because then it looks like you're more confident than you... I don't know. We're trying to get this guy to call. You know what I mean? So 50 might call. But then again, he might say, well, there's no way you can fold, so that means you must have me beat, and then he can fold too. So it's really difficult. It's really difficult. But I think no matter what you do, he's going to do whatever he's going to do. So you might as well put money in the pot.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to put some money in because I don't want to take the chance at giving him a free card. And I guess I'm just going to default to right down the middle, put 50 in. I really don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So
how bizarre.
It seems more likely that he'll call the 50 than the 100, but without knowing anything more about him than what we know. So
that's crazy.
All right, so our hero says, if I check, I'm pretty certain that he would check behind and therefore allow him a free card. I cannot bet anything smaller than the rest of my stack, so I push, and he folds quite quickly.
Well, I think we found our reason that you could bet, you know, smaller than your whole stack. Just because of the fact that, like you said, they're down the middle, it makes sense, because if you check and you give him a free chance, that's not right. If you shove, you're telling him you have him beat. You know, why would you put another 100 in there just to lose? Because if you're behind, you can still catch up to ace. Any hand can catch up to ace jack, you know, no matter what you hold. So why would you bet for no reason there if you're not ahead? So I think you could bet less. I think you could bet less in your stack there just for the because of the bizarre hand, because of the bizarre situation.
Yeah, and I think I would even, not that I'm a talker at the table, but I think I would say, I'm like, I don't really know what to do here. I'm just going to bet half and see what he would do at that point. But
yeah, and clearly his talking helped earlier. It got him to, well, he thinks he's talking actually got the guy to call preflop. So maybe he could have sort of finagled his way or Hollywooded his way into getting this guy to call 50, you know, or whatever. I mean, it's such a bizarre situation. I've never seen anything like that. I've seen him show one card, you know, but I've never seen him show two and before the action. I mean, it's one thing when the hand's over and you're just trying to make a decision and you're showing both right. cards to see the reaction, but to do a preflop and to know that you're literally giving away the entire hand no matter what, that's just, wow, that's just silly. And then he calls.
Yeah. There he goes.
So what happens?
I want to get back to that, but yeah, I was told what happens. Undergun had 10-7 offsuit, and we didn't improve, so we got the he got the main pot, we got the
10-7
side pot. but yeah, I think it's an interesting situation, and I forgot to mention that I'm clear. Like I said, I was clearly with you on not showing any cards at that point, regardless of what we have, really, at that point. On our end, but I'm racking my brain to figure out the logic behind showing someone both cards.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'm sure there is some logic for some player out there. I just can't figure out what it is, particularly with a hand like that.
No, you got dead money in there. You got some or somebody all in who's crazy and on tilt, and you got someone else who clearly the table knows that we're a tight, aggressive, solid winning player, as you mentioned earlier. So you're not making a mistake by 3-betting, you know, and you're 3-betting the button out of the hand, so you got to have a decent hand. And the ace-jack didn't re-raise with, you know, when he had his chance. So, yeah, what do you benefit from by showing a mediocre ace-jack hand, which, by the way, is a totally horrible hand? It's just a horrible hand. Ace-jack, I've lost so much money with ace-jack when I was first starting my career. It's not even funny.
Ace-jack, ace-queen. Ace-10.
Brutal. No, ace-10 sucks. I hate it. Oh, man, it's just crazy. And then the guy actually gets 10-7 and flops 2-pair. That's hilarious.
Yeah, and we should mention, too, that it's also highly unethical to be doing this in the middle of the hand when there's still action pending. Yeah. You get the all-in player, too. I mean, it's different when it's heads up and you're the last act and the other guy's all in, so you're not changing anything, but... certainly in a regulated card room, you would get your fingers smacked for doing this. So it's another reason not to do it. But
right, because you're hurting the under the gun chance of maybe you're hurting the under the gun's chance of making.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're affecting the play. I mean, you don't know whether the under the gun wants two players in the hand or one player in the hand. You know, obviously he's already got one in, so and you can't be affecting that play. That's all, you know,
it's
one hand per player rule.
It's just not nice. It's not good manners.
It's just not nice.
Not nice. Not good manners. Unbelievable. All right, buddy. Well, I'm glad that everything's going out okay. Hopefully you come home safely, and then you head off again into your wonderful travels. But, you know, always great. Don't forget, everybody, get a chance to show up at the 101 Casino for our main event. It's was it 3-day one, Scott?
Two on Friday and then one on Saturday.
So make sure you guys
One on Friday, two on Saturday.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. One on Friday, two on Saturday. So get out there and see Scott and take some of his money. I'm Chris Costanza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.